is Sober Reference. You're listening to A Sober Story, digestible conversations filled with evidence that you can do anything without picking up a drink. We share more cost-free resources on our website, www.soberreference.com, and hope you'll connect with us on social media. Search Sober Reference now and look for our logo. For more information about today's guest, visit our show notes. We hope you find this content valuable and leave feeling inspired to drink less, live more, and meet your potential. Enjoy.
Okay. So, authenticity. First and foremost, I love your blog. It is so honest and it's easy to read, and it just like pulls me in. Like reading your blog, I was immediately looking forward to having this conversation, because it's one thing to be authentic in a daily life, like with your friends or your family or people who just feel like so comfortable for you, but to be authentic publicly is a whole other thing. So I really am excited to kind of get your take on how to be your authentic self in sobriety, in the world, and even like online, honestly. But first, I want to hear a little bit about what it was like when you were drinking, and maybe how, looking back, you can clearly see now that you weren't really being authentic. So talk to me a little bit about what a drink gave you, what it took from you, how your personality was molded by it, whether that was authentic or not.
Yeah, of course. So there was one reason that I was drinking, and that was because I had this real deep sadness within me, and I didn't know how to escape that. And I found alcohol, and it's great for numbing. So great. And then I found drugs, and I was like, oh, alcohol is great for numbing. Drugs are great for that sort of euphoric feeling. What a perfect mixture. I'm going to do this all the time. I just didn't have the tools. And, you know, I was horrifically depressed, and that's what I found. So that's what I did. I didn't know any different.
Looking back, were there ways in which you acted, like whether it was the euphoria or I don't know, I just think for me, like, because I resonate a lot with being depressed and just I wanted to keep being able to show up in the world as if nothing was wrong. Looking back, I felt a sense of pressure or like this internal perfectionism to just like keep showing up and keep performing highly and keep being the happy, chill person that like is likable, which at times is very authentic for me. And at other times it's not, because like I'm sad and something's wrong and I'm feeling a lot. So what do you think it was for you about not wanting to feel, like, why was that so important for you to get out of the depression or escape the depression?
I think for me, like, I don't think I had any complexes about like wanting to like show up, like you say. I think for me, it was just that I was in so much pain and I just wanted to be reckless. Like, I just remember thinking like the most unhealthy things. And I used to do the most unhealthy things, like try and like run in front of cars. And just, I had this real like impulsivity to me and this real recklessness and this real like lack of care for myself and for other people as well. I was just completely, I don't even know. It's weird for me to talk about that person because I actually don't recognize that person anymore. So yeah, I was just completely reckless, really.
You bring up the compulsive actions. And for me, a part of understanding how my relationship with alcohol like manifested, how it affected me, is that it's a physical one, it's a mental one, and in ways it's a spiritual one as well. And particularly with the mental, like it took me a very long time to understand how much space my relationship with alcohol was taking up in my mind and how much it was kind of like controlling or directing my thinking. And the way that I started to understand, you know, what happens in my mind when I'm in an active relationship with alcohol is by understanding that like compulsive thinking, compulsive actions. To me, that's kind of where the term addiction makes the most sense, just because it's this like innate draw and seemingly like out of control action or thought pattern that it overwhelms me. Like rationally, I could sit back and think, I know that if I drink more than 3 drinks, I'll have a hangover tomorrow, or my sleep won't be good tonight, or I'll text someone that I shouldn't be texting, but something takes over where I have a compulsion to do the thing that I know I shouldn't do. So I've equated it to like when you go shopping and you see a sale and you don't really need the thing, but it's such a good sale that you're like, I just have to get it. Like I literally will feel like a fool if I don't buy this. And it rationally makes no sense. Like you don't need the thing. You'll never wear it maybe, but you buy it anyway. And that's a kind of like, I have the same sort of pattern with alcohol. So I really relate to that idea of like compulsive and the things that I did that, you know, looking back, I'm like, how did I get there? How did I get to the place where I was stealing necklaces from Urban Outfitters? Like, how did I get to the place? Because that doesn't seemingly have anything to do with drinking, but like, it is the same. It's like, why did I pick up a drink? Why did I shoplift? I don't freaking know. My brain was being taken over. So I really just want to let you know that I resonate with this idea of like, who was that person that did those things? Tell me a little bit more.
Yeah, the word, like hearing you say that, the word that's coming to my mind is escapism. It's all about getting out of the self and getting out of the body. And like I said, I was in so much pain that that's what I wanted to do. I just didn't want to feel it. I wanted to numb it. I wanted to do all these crazy things. Yeah, it's total escapism.
Do you remember feeling you were at the crossroads at a certain point where you were like, I kind of see what's happening here. I see that I don't want to face the hard thing, but I also see that not facing it is like killing me. And tell me how you eventually chose to like face it. What was that like?
Always say that I got sober because I was scared, because I scared myself. I was in hospital and I had psychotic episodes. The last episode I had was particularly terrifying. And I just knew that I had to. But as well as that, I also had, and this is where like me being like my authentic self comes in, is I had that like little thing in my gut, which we call our intuition, right? I had that thing in my gut that was like saying, this isn't right, this isn't right, this isn't right. But obviously the alcohol and the drugs, they're great at pushing that inner voice down. So yeah, when I had this fear and when I had these really horrible experiences, that little inner voice in my gut got bigger and it was saying to me, you can't do this anymore. This isn't your life. Like you deserve better.
I remember distinctly knowing at like 20 that it was like an internal knowing that my life would be so much better if I did not drink alcohol. And I chose to get sober at 27. So it's like this, like, we know that intuition. It is like, it's quiet, but it is so fierce. And tell me how that intuition, perhaps, what happened to your intuition once you got sober? Tell me about like the first 6 months of your sobriety and how you worked with that small voice to change. Because I know for me, the first time I got sober, the first time I chose to be serious and make a commitment, my intuition quickly overpowered my fear or my ego. However, after a relapse, the second time I recommitted to being sober, it was like 50-50. It was like intuition wants me to be sober. I know being sober is better for me. I've actually had the experience. But then I also had that like sneaky ego really, really strongly fighting it. We all have different experiences newly sober. What was yours like?
So for the first 6 months of my sobriety, I couldn't go out at all. I had to stay in. And that was my intuition. That was my gut telling me, you need to stay in. So like, I used to have a lot of people over my house and have a lot of house parties. And I would have that feeling in me that I was like, I need to tell people to go home now. Or I would have it before I was going out. It's like, I don't really want to go out. And then when I got sober and I started staying in, I had this really warm feeling that was like, oh, that voice that has been talking to me for so long, I'm finally listening to it. And I'm finally staying in and I'm finally honoring my boundaries. And that almost became an addiction in itself once I started doing that.
Okay, so this quote comes to mind. I think it's Glennon Doyle, and it's something along the lines of, like, our job is to disappoint as many people as necessary so we don't disappoint ourselves.
Oh my God,
And
that's
when you say boundaries,
disappoint everyone else before disappointing yourself.
our job is not to abandon ourselves. If you say, like, I have to ask people to leave now, or like, I have to tell them I'm actually not coming to the thing, that's choosing yourself, right? Following your intuition, choosing yourself. Did you have any challenges doing that in your new sober life,
Oh
or like pushback?
yeah, it took me so long, and I had to get used to like the idea that like, oh, people might not like me, and that was really hard because like when I was drinking and using drugs, like I was always surrounded by loads of people. We were always like having fun, or like fun, not really fun, but kind of fun. And so that was really hard getting used to that idea of like, people are not going to like me, or it's that thing, isn't like we just said, disappoint everyone else before disappointing yourself. You have to get used to disappointing other people, and that was hard.
What experience do you have, and what's the like, right? If the myth is like your life will be worse when you choose yourself and other people don't like you or you lose some friendships, what truth would you like to speak to that based on your experience?
There is nothing better than the feeling of inner peace you get from listening to your intuition and listening to that gut. Yes, you're going to piss people off. Yes, people might think that you're like completely changed. You're a different person. They're going to judge you. They're going to say things about you. But when you get into your bed at night, like I am right now with my hot water bottle and my candles on, that's just the nothing beats that. Like at the end of the day, you are the only person. You have to look after yourself and you have to put yourself first. No one else is going to tuck you in bed. No one else is going to make your hot water bottle. No one else is going to light your candles. You are, and you've got to love yourself and just, yeah. I'm very passionate about that.
You glow as you speak that, and it makes me think, I'm speaking to someone who I can sense that self-love and that inner peace. When you said that, I was like, yep, that's what she's got. Like, I'm wondering over here, like, what does she have? Because I freaking want it. And I'm like, nope, it's the peace. Like, that's what's shining through. And you mentioned that you have suffered from depression in your past. Do you still have some depression? Do you still manage depression? And tell me a little bit about how that peace and that authenticity meets the hard times or the depression or the sadness that might arise today.
Yeah, I definitely still experience depression or like depressive episodes, but I've read a lot of books. Like, I love reading self-help books and I've read a lot of spiritual books as well. And obviously, the biggest thing I did for my depression was stop drinking and stop taking drugs. But there's one thing that I think might have been Eckhart Tolle in The Power of Now or A New Earth. I can't remember which one, but he describes this like phenomenon of being disconnected from your feelings. Not disconnected in the sense that you repress them, but disconnected in the sense that you understand that your sadness is not you, your happiness is not you. And having known that, and like intellectually, I knew that for a long time, but it takes another sort of level to feel that and understand that and like be in tune with that. And so now, whenever I experience sadness or whenever I experience something that feels quite intense, I witness it going through my body instead of identifying with it. And that took me a very long time. And it's actually very hard to do that as well.
When you say witness, do you mean literally sitting and just like watching as it comes in hot and then like slowly fades away?
Yeah, just feeling it move through your body and understanding that that is not you. Yes, it's a feeling. Yes, you're going through pain. Yes, whatever moment you may be in right now is hard, but you are not sad. You are not depressed. You are experiencing sadness. You are experiencing depression or anxiety or whatever it is you might be experiencing.
That's a beautiful distinction. I think if I remember correctly from reading Eckhart's books, it is the understanding that like there is a separation between the two, right? Like the self is the observer of the feeling. And how I resonate with the idea of emotions is E and motion, energy in motion. And that helps me find that separation, because I'm like, oh, like energy is this thing, these like particles or whatever, right? Metaphysics. And it's just like I flowing through me, like it just needs to whoosh through me. And as it hits my heart or it hits my pelvis, it like it's like powerful. But then if I just let it keep flowing, it will pass. And if I just remember that it's in motion, it is moving, it's not static, it's not here forever, it's a temporary thing, then I'm like, okay, like maybe I can actually stay and just watch it for a minute. I think ultimately the big fear before I learned this, and in my drinking days when I was terrified of feeling, was it's going to be here forever. It is, it's me. Like, I guess this is just how I am. I'm just heartbroken, and I'm going to be heartbroken forever, and it's going to haunt me. And what I've learned in sobriety with the presence enough to like let the emotion pass through me is like, I'm not heartbroken. I'm not heartbroken. It is amazing what like time can do. Thank you for sharing that. I'm curious because there's this, I know that I've experienced a sense of freedom in that knowing that like the emotion is temporary, the emotion is energy moving through and it will pass. There's this freedom to show up that I like to describe as the both and. I can be a both empowered woman with passion and purpose today and feel kind of overwhelmed and feel sad about what's happening in this friend relationship over here in my life right now. And like, I can be all those things. And that's authentic to me today. I'm seeing you nod your head. So I want to hear, with that freedom that we both get to experience today, what's next for you? What are you excited about the possibility of when you show up authentically and kind of let yourself be the human experience?
I just want to say, like, the quote that you just said there about everything is temporary, that's another one of my favorite quotes. Like, and this too shall pass. Oh, it's great. But yeah, for me, what's next? I am so obsessed with this path of like evolving and growing and the idea of like strength. I think strength is a really interesting concept to discuss, especially when it comes to emotional strength. And it's interesting relating it to alcoholism as well, because people sort of drink and have that stiff upper lip thing, and people see that as a strength. But what I see as a strength is being able to look weak. To me, that's how I feel about being strong, emotionally strong. Like, I am strong because I'm not afraid to cry. I am strong because I'm not afraid to look weak or look vulnerable. And yeah, that's my freedom. And I just want to keep going on this journey, keep evolving on this path, keep helping people. I work for a few charities at the minute, so that's something that I'm really passionate about. And yeah, just keep expanding my brain.
Yeah, the weakness, what I hear in that is, you use the word vulnerability as well. My understanding of vulnerability is that it is to put yourself at risk or in uncertainty and or to be emotionally exposed. I feel like the way that weakness hits me is that idea that I am at risk that other people won't understand me or like me or fill in the blank, you know, whatever I like wish will happen or think should happen in order for me to be chosen and accepted, etc., in order for me to ultimately like be okay, feel okay. And that's what being your authentic self is. Like, it really is. And this is something that I'm like, it's such a deep ongoing practice to allow myself to take the risk and let the outcome be uncertain and be emotionally exposed and say, like, I don't know what you're gonna think about this when I tell you my truth, and I'm going to have to do it anyway, because that's what's authentic to me. And in that, like, that is incredibly strong and courageous, is what I'm hearing you say. Yeah, just like, is there anything in particular that you're like specifically moving through, like any particular pillar, whether it be health or relationships, or where this kind of revealing of your truth or your vulnerable authenticity is shining the light today?
Yeah, it's actually very interesting that you asked that question, because I am currently going through a breakup. And this is again where my intuition comes in and where that strength sort of comes in, because I knew that I needed to leave because someone had disrespected me. And I pride myself on having really strong boundaries. And that was really hard because I was in a situation where I really was looking forward to a future with this person and all of this amazing like love. Like we had a really amazing love. And then this betrayal happened and it was like, I had to let go. Because this person had crossed my boundaries, even though I still love them, even though, you know, I was hoping for that future, even though I was like, just forgive them, just let it go. I knew that I couldn't, not in my heart. And like in my gut, again, my intuition was like, you need to honor your own boundaries, listen to yourself and love yourself enough to know that this person does not align with you and who you are. And that's fucking hard. But yeah, I did it and that's where I'm at. And having strong boundaries and that intuition comes from my sobriety and comes from honoring my boundaries, you know, over 2 years ago when I didn't want people in my house.
Yeah, it's like those kind of smaller things. I'm actually just going to call my friend and tell him I'm not feeling up to going to the event anymore. Or I have people over and I need to tell them that, hey, I'm done for the night. Thanks for coming. Bye. You know, it's those like kind of smaller, which at first feel so big and are very brave because they're different acts of vulnerability that have built your strength so that you can do this very big, big, hard thing. Oh my gosh, I'm just hearing you say like, there's so much love and there's so much positive and maybe this person's even absolutely wonderful. And still you had created a request of how to treat you and it wasn't met. And, you know, with that information, you had to make a tough choice and you could, because you'd practiced what that tough choice looked like, felt like, and was, and that it was capable of walking through it. And that you were capable of at the end of the day, sitting down in your onesie with your candle and your hot water bottle and being at peace. Kudos to you. Cause that's, oh my God, those decisions are hard decisions. But yes. Like, I have to like surround myself with people like you who remind me that it's the end of the day when you're alone, when you're getting into bed, how do you feel? Like that is the true ultimate tell, you know, like there's no hiding from that internal self. So I'm really, really proud of you for, you know, not abandoning yourself. I'm curious to wrap up our story. If you would share with us what you're grateful for.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so grateful that I just get to experience life. And I know that sounds really vague, but I spent so long being depressed and being in that state where I was completely numb. And now I just get to experience so many different emotions and so many different things and not move through life on like a plain like level. I get the ups and I get the downs and I get the rounds and rounds and up and down. And I'm just grateful that I'm here.
Thanks for listening to Sober Reference. We hope you found this content valuable and are leaving feeling inspired to drink less, live more, and meet your potential. You can find more cost-free resources on our website, www.soberreference.com. We hope that you'll connect with us on social media, search Sober Reference now, and look for our logo. Great job taking in sober positive content today. Until next time, this is Sober Reference, and we are so glad that you're here.